Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That was Hekaka no Aho with Stan Walker. And in the studio, I've got Ngaranora Nata. Good morning.
Ai, atamari e koutou ma. Yeah, I love that waiata. And the kupu are just so beautiful too, because they articulate that whole understanding of our origins.
So kākano, I know, is seed?
Yeah, and it embodies this, the understanding of how the seed holds everything. And from there, once the seed is nourished and placed in a certain way, then it also, and given all that nurturing and nourishment, it becomes its true self. So the potential of the seed within the human being is really spoken about very clearly from a very ancient understanding within Te Ao Māori, that we descended from the heavens and chose to come down onto the earth, and therefore we brought with us these many gifts from our own divine nature to embody them within our life on the earth, our short life. Whether it's 60 years or 6 years, it's still short, the life that we have within the physical body. However, we have the opportunity within what this waiata is speaking to us about, is the human potential to flourish, to flourish and understand, come to understand this incredible world that we live in.
Okay, there we go. So today, Matariki is just around the corner.
Oh, well, Matariki is with us.
Matariki is
with us right now.
The public holiday is just around the corner, I guess.
Yes, yes, yeah. And many are around the country and also outside of the country, you know, not just in Aotearoa, New Zealand, will be picking up that vibration that we have made sure is in place in what we call a public holiday, and they'll be exploring what Matariki really is. However, I want to make sure that we also don't forget that puanga is part of that storyline, that pūrākau. Puanga sits on the shoulders of the constellation known as Orion.
Right, so puanga is a star.
Puanga is a very significant star which really leads the way. I'm not an astronomer and I'm not doing it from an astronomical point of view, but however, it does appear in on our horizon, our northeastern horizon, before Matariki, and some tribal groups such as Taranaki and Kaitahu also celebrate puanga first, primarily. Because Matariki itself is a cluster of stars within a very large constellation known as Taurus. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stars out there.
Yes.
It's a road map. It's a road celestial map for us to not only gaze up at and wonder, but I think it's important that we have our times when we're in awe of the universe that we live in. And this is one of them, where we can not only personalize or give personalities to these this matriarchal cluster we know are hearing about as Matariki, which is an ancient cluster known around the world as Pallades.
Yeah.
So in Stonehenge, it faces towards Pallades. Many of the temples in Greece, I know I've spoken about this before, but we're right in the time of puanga, the celebration or the acknowledgement of puanga and Matariki and their significance to us as we sit and reflect and gaze at that particular moment in time. We take time out from our, is there such a thing as normal activities?
Well, it's interesting because last time we talked about the imposition of the Northern Hemisphere's calendar on the Southern Hemisphere down here in Aotearoa, and the inappropriateness of that. And I've been hearing people recently talking about, not specifically about that, but about how they're trying to grind it out through the winter months.
Yeah,
and it kind of reminded me of that's perhaps not what we should be doing at all. But we've somehow, like, the sensation is we've just got to get through it.
Yeah, which actually I think is much more, how do you say, meaningful if we embrace it. Because it gives us an opportunity to stop from our industrialization thinking that we belong, you know, we must be in this workforce, and withdraw for a moment in time, whether that's a few hours or a few days, and really reflect on the past year. And, you know, really the past year, there's been some huge significant events within people's personal whānau lives and also within in the world. That is, just take that time to gain some understanding of where we are, where we've been, and what inspiration is there to go forward and meet the challenges ahead of us. So there's been some significant struggles in our own community around that. You know, there's been loss of life. There's been birth of life. There's been all those many aspects that make up the human life, human story, have happened within our hapuri, within our community. So we acknowledge those at this time. We don't do that around Christmas time. And also we call it, you know, all those imports really need to go. Those things that have been imported into the Southern Hemisphere don't give us a sense of who we really are and what's really around us, because they've got nothing to do with us, those Northern Hemisphere practices. Nothing at all.
We look forward to the summer break, and we look forward to not having to work and enjoy the good weather. What would have happened in Aotearoa at that time of year, pre-European times?
Well, there's so much to be done in because our supermarket was the garden.
Yeah, so that was a busy time.
Well, we didn't go to Super Value or the Four Square. There was no such thing like that. If you can imagine life without those, you know, everything's in a can or in boxes and boxed up for us to purchase, there was none of that available to us. We totally relied on our own ability as a community, as a iwi, as a hapu, to reproduce food for the days ahead. So summer was an extremely busy time of caring for the crops that would feed the whānau through those lean months known as matariki. And we definitely had to have a handle on that. We've actually lost a lot of pukenga skills around what we would call the preservation of food. We're relearning those as these amazing skills. You know, we hear about people in our own community who have mastered that again. But it was very normal in a Māori community to have those well and truly in place, because it was the survival of the hapu. Relied on that, on those pukenga for the tribe to stay well. So summer wasn't, no. I didn't, you know what, when I was a child, I never went and sunbathed. I didn't really need to.
Same.
I never did that. I wasn't taught that. In my whānau, you go to the beach in summer, you were collecting kaimoana, or you were dragging the sack along from the rocks, you know, where Dad had been diving for kina and kaimoana for the whānau, back to where, you know, usually Mum was sitting on the banks. I can see her now. And that was summer. But there was no way. I learned about sunbathing when I was 18 and had travelled to Australia and walking along the beaches and in Sydney and looking and going, what are they doing? And they were doing nothing. They were burning their skin.
Yeah.
As far as I could see, and I'm going, why would you do that? And then, you know, that whole...
And there was a lot of burning. Actually, burning was a lot of what was happening back then, wasn't it?
Well,
there
was a lot of care of our skin. Well, I think it was this whole glorification of sunbathing, you know, and it still goes on in Europe. But no, that wasn't what I remember that the summer was for. You know, yes, absolutely. Enjoy summer. Enjoy the warmer weather. But it was a very busy time to maintain...
I remember reading something about in Europe in pre-modern times that people looked forward to winter because there was less work to do.
They
would get a break from the busyness of summer and the harvest all of that.
Absolutely. And that's what its role that we've brought it forward. I think, you know, we've brought that into focus now, and I think that's a wonderful inspiration from the natural environment. It's not being created by humans. It's actually right there. Matariki is telling us to do that. Mm. Is speaking to us and saying, well, you know, you really should chill back. Yeah, and have you got the fire? Have you got all the wood, you know, ready for the fire? You do that in the summer. You know, you don't do it now. As some people maybe. You don't prepare
Disorganized people, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's just the rhythm. It's just getting back to those rhythms that really tell you, like, oh, well, I can enjoy my wood stove, my wood burner now, because we worked in the summer.
I think another thing, too, is that we all trying to live like kings now. And that there's, because there's lots of energy, we all have our own carriage, you know, the car. And we want, and even though we're kind of working hard, but because of what the resources available to us, I imagine that the kings would have summer breaks and things like that, but everyone else was in the fields getting the food ready, whereas now we all get to live like kings to a degree.
And that also
disconnects us, regardless of which hemisphere you're in.
Yeah.
That disconnects us from the natural world as well.
I think that's an important kupu, disconnect, the hononga. Back to the natural world, taiao, and how we respond to what is actually going on within in the environment itself. And we're not talking about the environment, we're talking about a living deity that we understand in Te Ao Māori as Papa Tuanuku. She's my mother. It's quite simple. It's quite simple in a sense that, yes, I live on the body of my mother. People go, oh, no, for real. And I say, yeah, for real. That's how it is. What's problematic about that? I mean, she's very feminine. She feeds the waters, you know, that come down from Rangi Nui. We express those as being the tears of Rangi because of the great separation, that he continually waters the earth, and that water travels in a certain manner, and we, you know, don't get me started on why, because we've done so much harm to our waterways that we have filters. We have these fabulous filters in our homes if we can afford them. There are those who wouldn't even be able, you know, go, oh, I don't have a filter. I use tap water, and tap water has become like, oh, you don't drink that, do you? And I'm thinking, yeah, we created this. This is the Western way of thinking. We created these situations where we have running water, but we don't drink it because we know, we actually think and have been sold and told that it's actually full of chemicals. What's that about?
You're right. It's a long story, and I feel like I might have derailed what you wanted to talk about anyway.
Oh, well, so. I think the whole understanding around Matariki is to understand what the pātaka is, which is the storehouse. So in our houses, we have these, what do you call it, where you keep all your food and you store it, you know, your tin cans and that. What that originally was, pre-European, was a pātaka, was a place where the food was kept dry, for those lean months.
And it was up in the air as well, wasn't it? Was it? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Not always.
Not always.
No, they were generally in some well, my experience was they were actually into the side of a hill.
Oh yeah,
side of a puke, because they, you know, the drainage was really important. But there was, those are quite ornate offerings, those pataka. But yes, they were there, and that was the native rat to keep them away from this yummy food that was harvested.
Yeah.
There's plenty of rats around at the moment, by the way, whānau, and make sure you got your rat traps, or you get savvy on getting them. They're not cool.
That sums it up.
They're not cool. The star cluster known as Matariki is a worldwide phenomena. We have claimed it, and, you know, I've said this in a previous podcast around Matariki, but I want to keep on emphasizing that cluster is really important to the way that we navigate time, what we consider to be time frames going forward. I know in my early 20s it was articulated to me that it was the time you plant garlic. Well, that's a Celtic tradition.
Mm.
I wasn't aware at that time that it was the time of Matariki, Puanga / Matariki. As I've, over the years I've come to understand, it's much more than just planting garlic. Go ahead and plant garlic, whānau, because it is the right time.
Yep.
And, you know, have that fabulous organic garlic, because most of our garlic in the supermarkets comes from China. I mean, what's that about? That's a huge carbon footprint. Why are we importing garlic? Anyway, I'm distracting myself kaupapa that our practices, you see how far away we've got from our own whenua, our own landscape of capacity to learn. And I can, you know, I can hear people saying, oh, where am I going to get garlic from? I said, well, ask your community, because your community will know.
I know people have been finding it harder to grow garlic here over the last few years as the climate has become, it's changed a little bit. I think it's, I'm not an expert at all, I think it's because it's damp, but Rick and Liz used to grow a lot of garlic and they'd sell it at the market, and they've stopped doing that as far as I know, so...
Yeah, well, the phenomena of the, it is a phenomena of the last 5 years, this the warming of the planet is very real, and to understand the impact that has on our, on the rhythm of our activities has to be not, we can't sit in these places of complaining, that's not going to help.
Mm.
We need to build our understanding and see what's possible going. You know, we'll be subtropical soon. I mean, we nearly are now. People are growing tropical foods.
Mm.
You know, in Northland they grow bananas and pineapple very successfully.
Well, people grow bananas around here. I think you need to be careful about where you can't put it out in the windy wastelands, but if you put it somewhere sheltered,
they
will grow. Yeah, there's four or five people growing bananas here.
You know, that's pretty cool. That tells you a lot about the temperatures of that we're experiencing and the changes that have come about through the planet warming up. And it's something we have to deal with. I wanted to share with the whānau about an event, a community event that's coming up around Matariki. Here at the town hall, it's still landing because it's still being
not at the old school.
No, oh, okay. It's at the Raglan town hall.
Right here, where we are.
Right here.
But actually, we're not in the studio, people.
No,
we're not letting you all in here. But not that many at once, anyway.
Yeah, it's landing in the sense that it wasn't organized. You know, it wasn't organized back in January.
Yeah.
It came about through a number of portals and understandings that the community is already very actively putting out their activities and events around Matariki and Puanga, but not so much Puanga. So I'm going to be, you know, pretty much looking at our education around Puanga and its significance within that holiday, this holiday period. We are still asking different community for their support in terms of putting together the evening program.
Yeah.
One of the features of this event is a kaitahi. So there's no exchange of money at all to come to the event. It is where we will be asking for people to bring food for an evening meal, a shared evening meal called a kaitahi, which is really part of Matariki's blessing on us, is for us to share food together, share kai. And that then at some point in the evening, or, you know, there's the program, and then we have this kaitahi together.
Okay, and so what do you know what the program is at this stage? Or
no, that's still landing.
Do you know what you want it to be?
Oh, yes. Yes, we want it to be very whangaroa, probably, you know, whangaroa based. So, what am I saying? Our talent here, right,
yes.
In whangaroa.
Yeah.
Nourishing that.
Yes.
Nourishing all of that first. We're not looking for a star from Australia or Japan or... They can come at other times of the year.
Yeah, of course.
This belongs to community.
Yeah,
I believe it's our for the hapuri to nourish its own growth.
And are you needing help or support?
Yeah,
or?
We do. We need support. How do you do that? How would you let me know? So that's a good question.
Do you have a website?
Of course, I don't have a
Facebook
website.
Page, an Instagram account.
Yeah, no. Actually, it was so funny. I went on a past Facebook page because I don't think you can delete them. I'm not sure. And there were messages on there from 2020, and my daughter had commented in that Facebook page, which is mine. She said, "I think you better send a message because she won't pick these messages up. She's not very good on Facebook." And I thought, oh, thank you, because my intention was to delete that Facebook page, and I still intend to do that if somebody, some fabulous technician out there can show me how to go delete.
Well, sounds like your daughter should know how.
Oh, no, it doesn't sound like that.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
No, she loves Facebook and all those social media portals.
Oh, she won't cooperate with this deletion of her Facebook account.
No, she doesn't have time for that. She only has time to... She's very, very active and very savvy. I expressed that to both Whetū and Kōmākau. I said, your generation are so savvy on social media, and I held up this paperwork of 20 pages of notes that I'd handwritten when I go to a hui, and there's these fabulous interactions. I write. I make notes. I said, this is my Facebook. This is where I got up to. Can you please show me how to share this with you on your social media systems? You know, we're in a totally different era. And they said, oh, scan it. I said, I'm not going to scan it. You can come and get it. But the notes that I took are actually, you know, so valuable. The note, because what it means is I was listening really carefully to what was being shared.
Yeah.
But and making notes. Yeah, old school. Is that what's called old school?
That's old school.
Yeah.
I mean, now you might actually film the whole thing and make the film available for others to see. That would be the... Yeah.
In my whānau, you would make the film and then you would wait for it to be edited, because we are editing whānau. We don't send it straight out there. That's not our jam. We love it to be just right.
Just right. Oh, dear. Oh, the editing can take a long time. I say, because editing takes a long time.
Yeah, because Cormacal currently is editing film material that too. And so, yeah, we have those puking in our own whānau. But, yeah, you know, getting back to this whakapapa of Matariki, if we can learn some of the proverbs that are available, the whakatauki, which are the wise sayings around Matariki, then I think we begin to infuse our understanding, but you know, of Matariki. Matariki hunga nui, which means Matariki has many admirers. And that means, what that essentially means is you have to get up early, before dawn, and look to the northeastern horizon and look for that cluster. It'll be a fun activity if you can handle the do so. It's not a common activity in the West for us to do that. In Te Ao Māori, pre-dawn ceremonies were normal. They're normal, they're natural. They're part of what we understand, those transitions from dark to light, and they're important portals which we acknowledge for ceremonial.
I wonder if in European culture, before the light bulb or before the gas lamp, whether there was much more focus on the pre-dawn. I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I don't know either.
Yeah, just because you couldn't switch the light on easily.
Yeah, I don't have that experience, you know.
Yeah, no, it's just a thought because it's no longer in your power to create light, and there's got to be much more interest and reverence in the creation of light.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful remembering that. When you don't control light like we are now, you know, we've got the lights on here, but we take
so
it for
many.
Granted. We do take it for granted that it's been given to us to use in this way, but that, you know, pre-European or wasn't so. That wasn't so. There were lanterns were rama. They called rama. There were many ways that fire, the engagement with fire, to bring light into our spaces where we were working, that we had much more active knowledge about. We're going through the Renaissance and relearning, or no, that's we're not relearning. That's not really what we're doing. We're having this revitalization of understanding that very thing. From dark to light, and how that unfolds, and how we can do that collectively through the time of Puanga Matariki. And I think that's a beautiful whakatauki to remind us the transition from dark to light, because of the way that the earth and the sun and the moon and all the other planets work. That's what's actually happening right now. You know, we're even feeling it. We're going, oh, it's so dark. Oh my gosh, it's 7 o'clock and it's still dark. So we've got this awareness like, oh, that our rhythm within our own tinana has to adjust, make these adjustments, you know, and we go and flick the light on because we can. And we go, whoa. Oh, wow, I can flick the light on, therefore I suppose I'm supposed to get up. But our natural rhythm would be to stay longer asleep. And I notice that with Mōkai, with the pets and animals, they so log into the natural rhythm. I'm not getting up now. It's still dark.
Well, they get to sleep a lot during the day, of course. They sleep any time they like.
Oh, yeah. So that's it, whānau, but just please... make contact with me.
We didn't get to that. How? How will they do this?
What is the best way? What do I put on here? My cell phone number?
If you're comfortable putting it out there.
Sometimes
I never do that to people. I've got no right to do that on behalf of other people, but if you want to, it's all good.
Okay. So it's 027-4142-414. Had that number for years and love it.
And that's this is for the organisation of our Matariki and Puanga celebration.
Yeah.
On the 22nd of July?
The 22nd, which is a Saturday.
Yeah.
And there's some fabulous things happening before that. However, I want to focus in on this, and really you'll get some more information about it in the coming week around how it's sitting and what it can look like.
Okay,
and you're looking forward to it, you know?
And you're looking for some local talents to participate
got
as well.
Got some pretty good ideas.
Okay.
Well, asking Wairiki and Django and the rangatahi.
Yeah.
You know?
I was just watching them, all those guys last night at the mentor session for Whangaroa Talent Factory.
Yeah?
So, yeah. So sharpening up their skills and their acts with the benefit of the older musicians.
That's what it's about. We sharpen them up here in our hometown.
Yeah.
Did I say that? It may not be my hometown, but, you know, it's where I live. So it's got
to
be.
When do you get to call it your hometown? It's the town where your home is.
Where do I get the blessing from the heavens and from the water, you know, from the moana here in Hine Moana to say, yep, all good. So,
you've got something else?
No, really around that, keep that evening, you know, available to come and share your goodness and your aroha to the kaupapa of celebrating together. I will share a waiata so that our community can, over, you know, the days ahead, the months ahead, we have some shared waiata that are part of who we are. There's definitely plenty of songs, but waiata, now that is something that I want to offer.
Okay. There was one other thing I wanted to ask about, which is your classes at the old school at the moment.
Oh, no, well, we're in the school holidays.
Once of course, it's the school holidays.
Once the school holidays are over, the te reo program will continue. The venue is yet to be confirmed, but the whole theme, the kaupapa, will be around raranga, weaving of muka and harakeke. And that will be in te reo, in te reo.
Mm.
Not 100% te reo, but definitely that's the kaupapa,
yeah.
Is the weaving of flax.
So that'll be in a few
weeks.
Starting in a few weeks.
Yeah, starting when it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We are.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Feels like it's not going to come in a hurry, though. It doesn't feel like it today. Today, look out the window. It's ooh.
No, but I love the fire. I'm a you know, Mahueka girl. So, kia ora whānau, stay warm, kia haumaru, and look after one another. Kia ora.